So what do you worry about? We all know weightiness, anxious thoughts, worry. Last fall, I was suddenly struck by a sudden download of fresh worry and anxiety as I did lunch with a friend. After initial chit-chat, the friend looked at me and said, "Hey, how about you run a half marathon with me next fall?" That suddenly got me worrying. I had never run a half marathon before, and I told him, I said, I've never done this. Now, this started a sequence for me of things that I really needed to drop, things I needed to let go, things that worries, haunting feelings, thoughts, anxious things in my heart and mind, all related to this potential race to run. I looked at my friend and I said, "Hey, I don't know if I can really do that." He said, "Sure you can." I said, I've normally not run more than 4 miles several times a week. That's my normal sequence." And he, "Oh, that's a great base then. You can just build on that and you'll be great to run a half marathon." I was like, "You've got to be kidding me." And he's like, "No, this will be perfect." And so we started into the training process, and I have to tell you, all along the way, I had things I needed to let go of. I had worries and anxious, tangled thoughts and feelings I needed to let go of. I immediately was thinking about the fact that any time I dared to push beyond that 4 mile mark, I would soon, I'd have things break, you know, like I'd get pain in my knee, or my ankle would end up feeling extra achy, and I would feel pain in the top of my foot. And of course, I would tell my friend I was training with these different fears and worries and things I was tangled up over, and he would have answer after answer of how to overcome that. Basically, ice everything. I said, "Ice everything?" He's like, "Yeah, just that's the magic ticket." And he was right. So that was overcome. But then every step of the way in training, there were different things I had to let go of and drop as worries and anxieties. And then race day came. It was late October, and it was pouring rain. Just pouring rain. It's north of Marietta, up on the trail, and the race organizers delayed, and then finally they said, "All right, you guys just got to go," and they shot the gun off, and out we went, and sure enough, within 1 to 2 minutes of running, just utterly soaked. I mean, you talk about weighted down, you talk about heavy, heavy weightedness, and eventually, halfway through the race, fortunately, I had layers on because I had to start peeling stuff off and dropping it and throwing it aside because I felt so weighted down. And you know, our worries and anxieties work that way, don't they? They weight us down. Heavy, heavy, heavy feelings of worry and anxiety spin within us. Our focus so far in this series has been deeper reflection in order to discover our triggers and worry loops. And if you've missed out, you can catch parts 1 and 2 online. I'll urge you to do that. In the next few minutes, we're going to receive encouragement to help us reflect even more, but also to start to pivot in order to reboot and repent and renew for healthier growth through our anxiety. It's really what Jesus wants to do in us. Even as we look at his words in Matthew chapter 6, and we're back there again today, we see that Jesus understood the framework, the anatomy of human anxiety in amazing ways, and it was and is his aim to help us grow through that. Along the way this morning, we're going to conduct several pause moments for reflection and renewal and reboot. And as we engage with those pause moments, I just want you to know you can opt in on each one if you'd like, or you can wait and watch for what exactly might match up for your worry area and your current soul and psyche framework. The aim in this morning is to actually take actionable moves to help. And we're going to practice some of those together. So right at the start, go ahead, identify. What one or two issues feel really heavy? What gives you busy brain? What is it that gives you busy brain? Take a rock. Scattered on your seats right there throughout the seats are rocks. Go ahead and take one in hand. And if there's not one nearby, you look at somebody and say, share a rock, please. Pass a rock along. Now, I am very aware that when you are a speaker and you give a crowd a set of rocks, I'm just kind of opening myself up here. I realize that. This is how much I trust you. No, seriously, take a rock in hand, hold it. If you're joining with us online and watching this service online, I invite you to take a piece of paper and draw a rock or pick up something else nearby you that can stand in as your rock. And then what I want to invite you to do is think about a word, a worry word. Lock onto it, and then with your mind's eye, kind of laser that word onto your rock to represent what's heavy and weighty. And in the next few minutes, there may be some ways that something gains clarity for you as being what's heavy. What one or two issues feel really heavy right now? Think of that one descriptor word and I laser it onto your rock or write it there on the paper in front of you. See, we all get very weighted down and we get these anxious thoughts rolling inside of us and these worries and these tangles of all sorts. Proverbs 12:25 says, anxiety weighs down the human heart. And grasp Jesus' wisdom on the mountainside. Right here in the middle of his clip in Matthew 6, as he's talking about anxiety and worry, he says, in which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Some translations pick up the lingo here and think about it as, which of you can even add a little bit of height to your stature? Who can even add a cubit to your stature, even just a little bit of height? It's a creative leading question Jesus asks. Jesus' concept, anxious, is more than casual concern or a little bit of worry. It actually is tangled up distraction. It's divided thinking. It's heavy obsessing. It's weighty angst and looping worry. And again, we all know about it. We do. So far, Jesus has said, stop being anxious over typical everyday life issues, especially material possessions. We saw it last week. Mammon, stuff, material possessions. Start focusing instead on our Father God's pervasive care and loving concern. See, this is foundational to actually following Jesus. Understanding who your Heavenly Father really is and how much He loves you and how pervasive is His providence and how immense is His sovereignty. And Jesus shows us again and again in His life rhythms and His teaching, in His example and His instructions. He shows us again and again the Father's heart. And He says, I'm just trying to live in step with my Father's heart constantly. I'm trying to walk in step with my Father. And so this is a foundational concept for us as followers of Jesus to know our Father's heart, and our Father's heart is immense toward you. His care is pervasive. And so we've looked in the last couple of weeks at these concepts of sovereignty and providence. Sovereignty and providence. You can trust Him more. You can trust Him more. Let your confident calm grow strong. Right here with verse 27, Jesus is saying, what does anxious thinking really accomplish? Can you add even an hour to your life? We worry a lot about time, don't we? Think about it for a moment. How much we worry about time. Do we have enough time? What if we're late to finish? Oh, we need to finish. Facing an obstacle, what if God shows up too late or not at all? We think those kinds of things, don't we? Do I have enough time to finish that big project for work? Do I have enough time with my kids to actually help them really grow up strong? What about my aging parents? Well, what about my wasted time and big regrets over the past? Now that's worth worrying about, right? Like we can actually go back and do something about it. But what happens? We churn on it, we stir on it, we tangle over it. Some of us obsess over the future. In honor of the 100th day of school, teacher gave her class this prompt. When I am 100 years old, fill in the blank. A little girl named Emma Knight wrote, when I turn 100 years old, I will be tired of everything and everyone. So I will tell everyone I'm going to Canada, but actually go to the Bahamas. I'll live in a tiny little hut with my tiny little dog. I will order fish tacos when I'm hungry and live my best life now with no crap. We feel you, Emma, don't we? We feel it, I know. You know, we worry a lot about time. A lot about time. And Jesus' point was this: what does worry really accomplish? It's sort of like a rocking chair. Rocking chairs are great, right? But if you sit there and you're rocking it, well, you're doing a whole bunch of motion, but going nowhere, right? And so you can sit there in that rocking chair and rock out, yeah, but you're going nowhere, letting anxious thoughts weigh you down, bog you down inside. It accomplishes nothing. And we buy the big lie that worry gets us somewhere. We've talked about this frontal cortex area. This area up in here. Oh, and you can add to it deep inside the amygdala, those little almond-like spots that are your fright and flight or fight kind of response. It's amazing. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, right? We are. And yet, because of our fallenness as humans, because of sin and sin's curse upon us, the reality is that even this whole arena gets messed up. And so the orbital frontal spot right there serves as this crossroads. We talked about it last week, this crossroads for anxiety patterns and worry behavior loops. And then result rewards get recorded and set. And those results and rewards that we take on as habits that we somehow think help us cope, and they really don't, but we think they do. Well, those get set in motion and they become our default habits. We talked about TBR and triggers and then behaviors and then those result rewards, and this gets recorded right there and grooved into us right here. And so what happens? It becomes rather autopilot. Becomes what you default toward. We've focused on deeper personal reflection all along the way, recognizing the great, great wisdom of the psalmist in Psalm 139, verse 23, when the psalmist says, search me, O God, know my heart, test me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way, any evil way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Here at the start today, for clarity's sake, I'm going to urge you to simply identify what issues feel heavy. What are those rocks that are weighing you down or tangling you up inside? It might be the weightiness of what if. The weightiness of what if we get anxious, yes, about timing, sequencing of life, progress, and accomplishments. What if we run out of time? And why doesn't God's timetable and plans sync with mine? Right? I mean, Surely he could sync up his timing better, right? We obsess, wanting our plans to come into full bloom exactly when we want them. Or your tangles might be weightiness of financial woes. The context for Jesus' sermon right here is indeed the weightiness of financial woes, fixation over material goods, possessions, daily comforts, or even daily worries over our work and success and accomplishments. Sometimes it's not primarily worldly greed that gets a grip on us, but it can be a pileup of pesky, costly, broken things not easily resolved. A tangled, messy mix. This week alone, our family experienced a clogged up, overflowing dishwasher. That was fun. Ye'll need to put new tires on a vehicle, which also turned into new rear brakes. One of the TVs in the house, the cable box fritzed out, and we've been back and forth and back and forth and gone through like four cable boxes from the Xfinity store this week. Oh, and my niece had a mobile phone burst into flames on her. Crazy stuff, right? Pesky stuff that just kind of piles up and chews away and creates that weightiness inside. Or maybe your weightiness is over health and wellness issues. Health and wellness issues. Many of us live right there, right now. Feels like every hour of every day. A recent article in the New York Times by Danny Bloom spotlights how in the pandemic, right now, worry burnout is too real. She summarizes how many of us are experiencing so much uncertainty and unending trauma for so long, and you're just overwhelmed with fatigue and anguish. We end up being on alert so much that we end up chronically exhausted and stressed. And so you sleep, yeah, but you don't really feel rested. Danny concludes her piece encouraging us to create a plan, including intentional time with a therapist if needed, safe socializing with friends, deliberate building blocks of a healthy daily routine like good sleep and smart eating and consistent exercise, trading social media and bombardment of our newsfeed for reading good books. And of course, mental health experts spotlight mindfulness and meditation as keys to better relaxation. So good. Absolutely so good. And I'm urging you to plan for biblical meditation and Christ-oriented mindfulness. Plan for biblical meditation and Christ-oriented mindfulness. Yours could be weighty, heavy relational issues, hurts from the past, and bitterness that keeps building. Someone hurt you. Someone violated healthy boundaries in your life, or mistreated you, or was otherwise calloused and cruel toward you. Could be that someone let you down or skipped out on you or very deliberately, perpetually falls short of your expectations. And these weighty worries seem to grow over time as we carry them inside. How about your own weighty items right now? Maybe one of these or something else. The question becomes, how do we consistently embrace new patterns that allow us to walk in freedom? How do we consistently embrace new patterns that allow us to walk forward in the freedom that Christ has in store for us? Way too often we lead largely unexamined lives, which leads us to keep repeating the same old patterns and habits again and again and again. It's St. Ignatius and his followers' prayer exercise known as the Examine Prayer. The Examine Prayer encourages a daily rhythm of slowing down to ponder and examine. It's a spiritual exercise for busy people, so people like us. The exercise can take various forms. Here's one that works well, very well for end of your day, but we can do it right now, so we're going to practice it. And I invite you to take these 7 steps. These 7 steps. And these, by the way, are mapped out at the app, so it's loaded up there if you want to reference it now or later on. Step one, deliberately shift gears. Deliberately shift gears. Turn off the TV. Get up and take a slower walk around the different rooms in your house. Or just move to a different room. Light a candle. Grab a journal and pen, whatever it takes to shift gears to a new zone. Second step, recall that you are in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit's presence. You are in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit's presence. It's a constant, bigger biblical truth, and we forget it too often. Emmanuel, God with us. We forget. But if we take a moment like this and remember, then we can thank the Lord again for his love, his guarding, his guiding, and strength available. And so ask the Holy Spirit to help you look at your life across the day with love and accuracy. Ask the Holy Spirit for clarity. See, we need that because we get the rocks going in there and we get all tangled up inside and we need clarity, and the Spirit of God can provide that clarity. Third step, reflect gratitude. Reflect gratitude. Lock on to just 2 or 3 down-to-earth things for which you can thank him. Recall how your car started every time today. That's a blessing. I lived before electronic fuel injection. Most of you did too. A lot of you did. I remember praying every morning, Lord, help my car start. Your coffee or tea was hot and strong again. You had a solid, meaningful conversation with a coworker. Reflect gratitude. This is a tremendous, pivotal antidote to our worries. St. Paul gets after this in Philippians 4:4-7. Well, will you read it with me? Let's read it out loud together. Let's read it aloud. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Reflect gratitude. Fourth step, review God's gifts from the day. Review God's gifts from the day and your own gifts exercised through your labors and love expressed. God's gifts and your gifts lovingly expressed. Let your day replay and ask, when did I, by God's grace, grow and do good deeds? God himself at creation examined each day, stepped back and said, ooh, that is good, that is good. Why not us each day? Made in the image of our Creator, empowered by the Holy Spirit, infused with his love. Praise him for the very good things accomplished. Celebrate, rejoice. Okay, so right now, and I invite you to do it. Go ahead. Put yourself in your own little zone right here and reflect gratitude and celebration about this past week. God's gifts to you and your gifts expressed. Go ahead, right now. Right here, ask again the Holy Spirit to explore in you, bringing understanding and clarity about your heart and your day. And then review your day a bit deeper. 2 Corinthians 13:5-6 powerfully says, examine yourselves. St. Paul says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. And then in a very positive and encouraging sense, he says, do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. And I trust that you will discover that we have not failed the test. Examine yourselves, Paul says. Fifth step, let your day replay like a set of mini movies. Let your day replay like a set of mini movies and openly ask, when did I fail? We all do. Consider those conversations, cross words, at times maybe you swore either out loud or in here, in your head. Engaged in some unholy thoughts or actions. Maybe you let a critical spirit be pervasive or entertained deeply disturbing motives. Consider those places you let anxious thoughts take over, when you let worry weigh you down. Here's where you discover things that have become habitual and way too autopilot. Here's where you see habit and life patterns. So go ahead right now. Take a moment, reflect. Consider those places you failed. Those fractures, those fault lines. Go ahead. Take a moment. In examining like this, you see both the negative and the positive, right? And it's really important to not just fixate on your failures and fractures and fault lines. Focus also on where Jesus helped you have positive responses. Those places you heard his voice with clarity and you followed through with good steps, made positive choices, and built others up. Again, thank him. Thank him and praise him for those new character actions. Rejoice and praise him for the positive. Say profound thanks. Embrace the rejoicing and gratitude Paul is getting after in Philippians 4:4-7. But do face honestly those negatives, those sinful foibles and unholy failures and fault lines. And so sixth step, confess them. Yes, confess them. Lay them down before Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Lay them down before God. Thank him for his forgiveness and his patient, strong, reviving renewal available in your life. Pray for freedom. Pray for freedom to think, feel, and act anew. Review the reality with certainty. Your Father is good. He is kind. His forgiveness is real. The Holy Spirit's power for new patterns, new thinking, and new choices is very real. Romans 12 and verse 2, Paul urges us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. John Acuff, Final Days of 2021, said this: if you picked up any bitterness this year, don't miss your chance to put it down this week. Don't carry last year's rocks into next year's garden. Don't paint next year's canvas with last year's colors. Don't write next year's story with last year's words. So, seventh step, commune with focus in Christ's presence. Commune with fresh focus in Christ's presence. As we get ready for communion together right now, I want to invite you to stand. Go ahead, let's stand together. I invite you to stand up. If you want to shift gears, if you're joining us online and want to shift gears and do the same, feel free to stand. And I'm going to invite you to pray like this. I'm going to pray some phrases at a time, and I'll pause along the way, and I'll invite you to make these phrases your own. Let's pray together. Lord, I see this tangled up inside me. I know you see it. And I thank you that you already know all about it. I ask you to take it. Lift what needs lifted. Carry away and forgive. Please, Jesus, clear the way. Wash over and cleanse me. I lay down these tangled thoughts and weighty burdens. I lay them down and ask you to free me. Help me. And fill me with clarity to walk anew in forgiveness toward others. Renew and revive me in your love, Jesus. Thank you. Now, stations are going to be open right here at the front and two stations in the back as well. And if you're watching at home, I invite you, if you haven't already, to take a moment to grab some juice or something to drink and bread or cracker. The piece of bread reminds us of Jesus, his body on the cross for us. The juice grabs our senses to remind us of Jesus, his blood shed for us. Both elements pull us into reflection and a fresh realization of his immense loving sacrifice and our opportunity to live in the new way, his new covenant, brand new thinking and actions, more like Jesus. If you're moved with trust in him this morning, with a full heart, you're invited to come to one of the tables, partake. And as you come, if you would like to, you can bring along your rock, but then drop it in one of the wooden bins as a very special response to lay down your anxiety and embrace newness of life in Christ Jesus. The team's going to lead us in some songs, and along the way, whenever you're ready, you can move to one of the stations.